All right. Hello, my friends. How's everybody doing this fine Sunday morning? Well, yes. Yes, you are. That sounds great. I'm going to do that one more time just because it was fun. How are you guys doing this fine Sunday morning? What? My name is Jason, and I get the joy of being the college and family pastor here at RDF. But my joy would be nowhere near complete without the love and the faithful companionship of one fine lady in this room. And her name is Jennifer Moronis, and today is our 17th wedding anniversary. Thank you for 17 years of the best years of my life. I can't speak for you, but for me, they've been awesome. So thank you. I love you. This morning, we're going to continue in our series we've been calling Believing Christmas, and our hope is that you will find yourself in the story of this child who was literally born to change the world, that you wouldn't get too distracted by all the other stories, that you would lose focus on the real story of Christmas. You know, one of the fun traditions we have around the Moronis home, and we do have some silly ones, but this is a fun one. Starting December 1st, we start watching Christmas movies, y'all. Anybody else like to watch Christmas movies in here? Yes. Yes, we started off right this year with The Grinch That Stole Christmas. We prefer the Jim Carrey version because he's very snarky and he makes me laugh a lot. Yeah. Joel's a little upset because we haven't watched The Polar Express yet, but we will get to that, I promise. Elf. Elf is one that I haven't watched yet this season, but I will watch it at least twice before the new year. Am I alone in that? Or is anybody else? Would anybody see that? That's great. So, just want to check in with you. I'd love to hear some of the Christmas movies you can't wait to watch every year. Just shout them out to me. I'd love to hear them. Wait. Christmas Story. Oh, my gosh, The Christmas Story. I love that. Anyways, that's funny. It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, that one's okay. Anything else? What else? White Christmas. Yes. Scrooge. I hear Scrooge over here. The Christmas Carol. Bah humbug, man. Golly, that's a good one. What else? Charlie Brown Christmas. Classic. Love it. One or two more. Yes. Yes, you, the beautiful young lady in the fourth, fifth row there, who looks just like her mother, thank God, not like me. Yes. Frosty the Snowman. Exactly. Rudolph. Here's the thing. These movies are funny. Wait, is there more? Okay, anyways, these movies are funny, and they warm our hearts, and I really, really like them. And over the years, as I've watched these movies, I noticed two themes that seem pretty consistent with most Christmas movies, and I want to share those with you this morning. The first one is this, is that, well, especially if you've ever watched these movies. You ever watch these Hallmark movies, the made-for-TV movies? It's confession time. Raise your hand. I want to see it right now. Oh, look, I saw someone going like this, like, yes. Do you guys really like those movies? That's awesome. I don't. And just for one clear reason, okay? Because I'm an ugly crier, y'all. All right? I'm an ugly crier. You don't want to see 6'2", 200-something pounds blubbering on the couch. Just like, no, ain't nobody got time for that. Nobody wants to see that. But it's true. It's true because there's a theme in almost every one of these movies, and you know it's true, is there's a broken relationship that needs to be reconciled. In every one of these, there is somebody in this show or in the movie that needs to get right with somebody else. And there is somebody in this movie who doesn't understand that because there's conflict between these two people, it's actually spilling over and impacting all of the other people around them. And it's a big deal. And just when it seems like there's no hope for any kind of restoration, it happens. Somebody goes first. Somebody puts themselves out there and they say, I'm sorry. Somebody puts themselves out there and say, this is how I've been showing up for you. And I can't believe it and I'm really sorry. And then somebody else takes another step back to them and it's just like, what? Right? And what was once was lost is found. And what was once just really painful and raw all of a sudden becomes joyful and healed. And I cry. Right? And I cry. My friends, Christmas and reconciliation go hand in hand. It's really hard to talk about one without the other. And we know this intuitively, don't we? Because these are the kinds of things we hear around our house, like, hey, be nice, it's Christmas. Hey, you have to invite them over. Why? It's Christmas. You got to call Uncle So-and-so. Are you sure? Yes, it's Christmas. There's this idea that especially around Christmas time, we need to be right with people around us. Listen to how the Apostle Paul talks about Christmas in Colossians 1. He says this, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him." God, all of who God was dwelling in this Jesus, this baby king. And then he goes on and says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Not just reconcile us, like us human beings, but all things. I don't know, is that creation? I mean, it's blowing my mind. I don't know. It's big. All things back to himself. God made a way through Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, like Dave talked about last week. And in this exchange, if you will, things were made right between us and God, in which we are now on friendly and compatible terms with one another. That's what reconciliation means. And that's why that we are grateful to sing the songs, aren't we? Songs that say things like this, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." I'm not going to sing it for you. You guys know how it goes, all right? God and sinners reconciled, and it warms our heart, and we think, yeah, there's just something so awesome about that, so right about that. Let me ask you a question. What about sinners and sinners being reconciled? No, he didn't. That's different, isn't it? But that's something I think we all can relate to. Right? We can all relate to that relational tension that sometimes rears its ugly head around Christmas time and can leave some of us singing the Christmas blues instead of singing joy to the world. Because reconciliation between sinner and sinner, that's tricky. But that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Because it doesn't stop there. This isn't merely a heavenly exchange. The angels were singing and giving God glory for what he was setting into motion. Through Jesus, there's this plan that would bring peace on earth like it was never on earth before, would bring peace to mankind like they have never experienced before, a peace of mind, a peace of soul, a relational peace that only comes through reconciliation. The root word of reconciliation is conciliation, which is the action of stopping someone from being angry. It's the action of stopping someone from being angry. Come on, this touches us where we live, y'all. This touches us where we live. Because last week, Dave pointed out how unbelievable some parts of the Christmas story can be. But they're true. He also pointed out just how unbelievable the Christmas message can be, that we can be saved from our sins. But it's true. And today, I want to share with you the mission of Christmas, and it's unbelievable. But it's true. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." There is a new way to be human. There are new heart attitudes, new habits, a new perspective that we need to consider and adopt. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus, to which we say, yeah, we know, Paul, we get it. You just said it. But he doesn't stop there and gave us the ministry of reconciliation and gave you and gave me and those who are going to follow after him the ministry of reconciliation, not counting men's sins against them. So God makes the first move. He makes a way for forgiveness, not counting men's sins against them because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're good with that, right? We're clear. Yeah, but here's the thing. Okay, I had this cousin, his name was Loopy, okay? And he was my older cousin of mine, and he was all my other cousins were super crazy loud, all right? Anytime you see, you're like, hey, Jason, how you doing? I mean, it's like, you know, they're just crazy, okay? I'm Hispanic, I'm half my side of my family, okay? But not Loopy. Not Loopy. He would hardly say anything, and he had this little phrase, this little saying. He would say, yeah, but here's the thing. And anytime he said it, I know, anytime he said it, everybody would shut up. Everybody would kind of lean in, because Loopy didn't talk very much. But when he did, they knew that he was going to offer a new perspective, something fresh, something they needed to hear, that it would be helpful to them. So here's the, but here's the thing. And somehow, in some way, we're invited to do the same thing that God has done for us. He wants us to mirror his heart attitudes and actions towards others. He wants us to treat others like he has treated us, which is a little different because than what we want, because we want to treat others how they treat us. We see this again, this idea fleshed out in Matthew 5. If you come to worship and you realize that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother, then come back and offer your gift. It's almost like God values reconciliation of relationship over religious practices. And maybe I'm overstating that, you'd give me some pushback and say, well, okay, that's a little bit much, but you have to at least admit that there is a very strong connection here between what's happening. This idea of relational reconciliation, right? Of us being right with other people and us being right with God. There's a connection. So let me ask you, who in your life do you need to get right with? Who is it that you need to extend forgiveness to? Who do you need to ask forgiveness from? And I know this has the potential to be very awkward. And I know this has the potential to be very, very uncomfortable. That's why we avoid these kinds of conversations. I get it. But if we're always comfortable, then we have no need of the comforter. If we're always comfortable, then we've got no need for the comforter. And my friends, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. And I know some of you might be thinking, Jason, you have no idea what this person did to me. You have no idea of the emotional pain that they caused and that they're still causing in my life. And to you, I would say, you're absolutely right. I don't. And I would never want to in any way downplay your pain. No way. I just know what God's calling us as a people to do. I just understand, like many of you understand, sort of this big picture ideal that God has for our lives for reconciliation. But the real of reconciliation, actually stepping into those conversations and into those conflicts, I know that's different. I know that's different, and I get that. It's just that most Christians spend their lives looking for signs and wonders, and then they avoid the very situations that these miracles can happen in. Oh. Most of us spend our whole life just saying, God, where are you at? You're going to do something good. You're going to do something here. And we look around at these relationships that we're missing in this conflict, and we don't even realize the potential we have to see God move in them. Remember, guys, I've been married for 17 years. And I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't. But there have been seasons, and there have been days, that if they could play on that video screen here this morning, on one hand, I'd want to cover my face in shame. On one hand, I want to climb under that piano and kick the legs out. On one hand. But on the other hand, I'd probably smile. And tears would probably run down my face of the utter grace that God has bestowed on that relationship. Am I right? Am I alone in that? They're both true. They're both true. But here's the thing. We had to do the hard work of reconciliation. We had to be willing to go first and to step towards one another. You know, and I'm sorry, but my life is like a fairy tale, and I'm not trying to brag in any way. But if you've ever come up to me and you've ever asked me how I'm doing, and I've ever said to you, better than I deserve. That's why. Because the kind of life I live now, the kind of relationship I have with my wife and my kids are just like a fairy tale compared to how I grew up. By God's grace. By God's grace. By God's grace. The situations, all I'm really trying to say with that is the situations of relational breakdown, they just may be brimming with possibility to see God do something awesome. And if you don't need to see that, I know a watching world needs to see that. I know that. But what should we do? I'm not saying that it's easy, and I'm not certainly not saying that it's going to work out exactly how you think it's going to work out. Please hear me say that. Because the truth is the real of reconciliation is often a lot messier than the ideal of reconciliation that we talk about in this room. And I get that. But seriously, what should you do? What do you do when someone's crossed a line they just can't come back from? What should we do when we have forgiven somebody, but the new boundaries have to be set, though, for our own emotional health and for our own relational well-being? We've got to set these fresh boundaries so that we, for our own health. That's what it's like in my house. That's what it's like with Jennifer and her father. You know, great guy. She's forgiven him. And that's kind of our relationship that we have, a little bit at a distance. What do you do when you put yourself out there and the other person just can't or just won't reciprocate? That's what it's like with me and my father. 19 years old, trying to live out this thing that God's calling me to and be reconciled and be right. I went to him 5-10 times saying, Dad, this is how you wounded me. This is how you showed up for me, but I'm offering you forgiveness and I love you and da-da-da-da-da. You know what my dad said? Good for you. 5 times. Imagine pouring your life out, pouring your heart out at 19 and just saying, I just want this to be right. I just want us to be right. Good for you. Good for you. You can't force this reconciliation thing. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. And I just want to be honest and acknowledge that it's hard. Reconciliation is not easy. It's just necessary. And we need to remember that reconciliation is a spiritual thing. It's something you partner with in God when you step down that path towards that. I just urge you, if you want to step into reconciliation, there's 2 things you just have to do. You need to go into it prayed up, and you need to put on the humility of Christ if it's going to work out. You just do, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Take that step. Because I know, just like I think you know intuitively, that the way to true peace never, never, never comes... never comes with pretending that what is wrong is right. I just know that at some point we have to decide that our commitment to Christ, it actually includes relating to people in an emotionally healthy way. I just know that God is calling us to be mature, emotionally healthy adults that love well. Do you know any emotionally healthy or unemotionally healthy adults that really love well? I don't know too many of them. It's not their fault. They just can't. They just have a hard time doing it. We gotta love well. What do you do? Well, I don't know about that. I just know that at some point we have to decide if we will follow the relational skills that we learn unconsciously growing up or the new ones that Christ is calling us to put on. Whew. Colossians 3. As God's chosen and dearly loved people, that's you, clothe yourself. Translation, try it on. See if it fits. Just step into it. What do we step into? This is it. Compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgive grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave, not as you want to forgive. For Christ's sake, forgive as the Lord forgave. And over all these things, we need to put on love, which binds them all together. Binds them all together. So here's the second thing I learned from these Christmas movies. You ever notice that almost 90%, I just made that up, percent of Christmas movies is about somebody who misses it, right? Somebody who just doesn't get the true meaning of Christmas, right? It's Cindy Lou saying, oh, there's got to be more than Christmas than just presents and gifts. That's what, like, causes her to go and seek out the Grinch in the first place, right? It's like the Grinch saying, oh, you know what? I can steal Christmas. All I have to do is steal the presents, the lights, and the food. He wakes up Christmas morning and he says, Christmas comes just the same. He's perplexed. He doesn't get it. He says, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. No, maybe it's much, much more. It's Charlie Brown working super, super hard to put on the pageant for all of his friends. And you know what else he's doing if you really watch that story? He's also trying to make everybody happy, all in the name of Christmas. And he finally gets so exasperated, he just yells out, doesn't anybody know what Christmas is really about? Why do we have to be reminded so much of what Christmas is? It's all about. It's like going to the best birthday party you can imagine, and you get to the part where you sing happy birthday, and you're like, happy birthday to who? Who's this party for? I don't remember. And then I remembered something that Andy Stanley shared in like a leadership thing I went to like a while back, a long time ago. And he was talking to leaders, and he said something like, leaders, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from demonstrating what it is that we celebrate? What's stopping you, leaders? Why won't you demonstrate? Why won't you find creative ways to demonstrate what we celebrate? And then it occurred to me, that's it. That's the common denominator in a majority of these films. The tension to be resolved is this, is that people are not demonstrating what they're celebrating. That's the tension. No matter how you cut it, that's the tension. People are unable or they're unwilling to demonstrate what it is they're celebrating. It's that it's the stingy person, right? It's the guy who's just super, just can't wrap his mind around it. It's the mean person. It's the person who's a workaholic. He's working too much. He's missing his kids. It's that person who just really wants to win the decorating contest on his block, and so he just like gets in a war with all of his neighbors. It's that person who refuses to get right with that person he knows he needs to get right with. They're not demonstrating what they're celebrating. And inevitably, there's a disconnect. And then the disillusionment sets in. And someone or something has to remind them of what believing Christmas is really about. And that's kind of my point this morning. That's kind of how what I hope that you will walk out of this room with and that you will try to live into by God's grace this week. It's this. Believing Christmas implies that we will demonstrate what we celebrate. Believing Christmas, this whole series, this whole idea, it implies that we will demonstrate what it is that we come into this room to celebrate. The idea of believing Christmas has implications on our lives. God reconciles us to Him so that we can be in right relationship with Him, so that we might have peace. And then He says, now go on, boy, go on, girl, you do the same. You go out and you try your best to be in right relationship with others. And when you do, you're going to discover a peace that you didn't even know was available to you. But not only that, it's going to be a peace that is invasive. It's going to spread to the whole world. But when we refuse to live into those truths, then it leaves the people around us wondering, so what's this whole thing about again? Whose birthday are we celebrating? So this morning, I want to say to you, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. When we find ways, big and small, to demonstrate what it is we celebrate, things change. Reconciliation is a reality. Hope, joy, peace, all of those things that just see, that we desire deep in our hearts, but sometimes they just seem so far out of reach, can be part of your experience. They can be part of the human experience, but it's absolutely crucial that we demonstrate what we celebrate. So, may you walk out these doors today and find ways to demonstrate what you celebrate. May you not avoid, but instead embrace those awkward conversations that just need to happen. And may you be just uncomfortable enough that you need the comforter. Just enough so that you don't miss out on the comforter this season. And may God richly bless you as you demonstrate what we celebrate. Will you pray with me? God, we can't do this on our own strength. Not even close. God, will you help us? Will you help us, God? Will you give us the courage, God? Lord, help us to understand your words and your ways, but do not leave us there. Give us the courage to live those ways out today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.